Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
What up, folks? Welcome in. It is the early week edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Jonathan Von Tobel, Kelly Bidlin alongside as usual. Now, we'll do this one more time. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse, but like, let's do this one more time. We are going to do these Monday. Yep, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, a reminder for all of you. So, of course, look out for these. This is supposed to do it earlier, but I had to fill in on Lombardi Line earlier today. How about that? How about having to fill in on Lombardi Line and then watching the namesake of the program, Michael Lombardi, tweet out while you're filling in for him? Just got done recording the podcast. I was like, what? What are you doing? You're on vacation. And here they are, still working. What's up, buddy?
Priorities, John. Priorities. We all got to have them in life, okay? We figured out where that show falls, I guess, in those.
I like to make jokes. Sometimes my jokes are misconstrued as shots, so I hope that's not one. I thought it was a good joke, but...
Maybe it was something he could do while he was on vacation and the show wasn't.
Yeah, he's in Utah doing something.
I'll say it that way. How about that?
Yeah.
We got another situation. We got a numbers game. We got our good friend Drew Dinsick. I know he's like tearing up the slopes in Jackson Hole. Can't be on the show this week, but he's going to do the podcast because I think he can find a little easier to find time to do that.
Okay. I get it. All right. Tearing up the slopes. I've only
one. You got to be on camera for one. You don't.
Yeah, I've only torn up the slopes like twice in my life. It's actually a really good story. So you want this really quick anecdote?
Yeah.
So
yeah, hell yeah.
It was my senior year of high school. And we were driving up to Bryan Head to go snowboarding. And I enjoy snowboarding. I'm not particularly good at it, but I like doing it every once in a while. And we're on our way there, and we start driving in the middle of the blizzard. And my buddy Ryan, who was driving at the time, was convinced that the defogger would not work because hot air would fog up the window. And I'm like, no, like that's not how that works, right? Like that's what they're used for.
Like, what do you think the button's there for then?
Oh, so it gets better. Keep in mind, we're in the middle of a blizzard, and we had left straight from school on that Friday to go up to Bryan Head. So I'm in shorts and a t-shirt, and he had us. I was in the passenger seat. Our other buddies are in the back. Roll down my window in the middle of a blizzard and reach outside and wipe clear the window like every 10 minutes. Because he did not think that the defogger was going to work. So we had our windows down in the middle of a blizzard, manually wiping away the frost on the windshield from the outside because he did not think the defogger was going to work.
All right. One, that's incredible. Two, how many of you guys were in the car?
Five of us.
Okay. So four of you were not able to convince the one guy of what the defogging button does, a setting does on the car?
So it was one of those instances.
Sounds like you guys did a real bad job.
Right. But it was also one of those instances. I don't know if you've ever been here. It's like one of those, is it bystander, like the bystander theory or something like that, where like if somebody's in danger, sometimes people won't help because like they don't want to be the one to, you know what I mean? That psychological Whatever that is.
So what, you didn't want to piss off the driver, basically? By keeping this going?
Because Ryan is a really smart guy. Like, he's an architect now and everything like that. So he's like a super smart dude. And it was one of those where he sounded so convinced that we were all like, he's got to be right. Like, he's got to be right. Like,
I'm just enjoying the idea of this guy rolling around at the age of 19 or something and be like, you know what? My windows are a little too clear today. Time to fog it up a bit. Where's that defog button? Yeah. Right. Let's get this a little bit more moisturized in here or something.
Yep. We actually did that the whole way until we got to the base of the mountain and we stopped for gas. And I was like, dude, we got it. Cause my hands are numb. Like, I'm in short sleeves. I'm wiping away frost. I'm free. I'm like, dude, we got to just try it. And so we do it immediately. Like, the window just like clears up and we're like, all right, this is... It's absolutely
I love the, you know what though, I love the people where they are some of my favorite people on the planet that hold their convictions so strong that, like, they are, the earth is flat no matter what, JVT, you could not convince me otherwise until there is such absolute evidence thrown directly in my face. Those people crack me up so much.
And it's also, like, to your point too, like, if you really think about it, like in that moment, I should have been like, Ryan, then why would they install that? Like, why would that?
Right. Yeah. Why? What do you think the button's there for? Like, nobody's driving around being like, I need my windows foggier. They are too clear right now.
So hopefully Ryan has had a change of heart when it comes to defoggers. I'm going to try to segue this. Much like I have had a change of heart when it comes to the sixth man of the year. How about that?
There you go. There's your segue. I was going to keep it going, but you're right in the middle of it. Yeah. Change of heart to the sixth man of the year. What are you on, Team Quickly now?
If you've noticed, I switched my Twitter profile picture to a picture of Emmanuel Quickly.
Oh, my God. Oh, whoa. Okay, wait. Hold on. We got to. Well, I want supreme honesty from you, Jonathan Von Tobel. Have you switched your heart because you honestly believe this guy merits the odds that he currently carries and will win the award? Or have you switched your heart because you realized you found a 25-1 ticket that somehow you and Matt Brown make these bets and forget you made these bets somehow?
A quick correction, 35-1. And
35-1. Sorry. Yeah. My apologies.
And I'm doing it just to be a jackass. Like, I'm just doing it to troll. I think it's hilarious. So for those who don't know, I texted Kelly. I was actually really excited. So I texted two people this morning. I texted you and I texted Mitch Moss. And they got two.
The only two people awake at 6 a.m. Yeah. Correct.
So I found, for those to give the story, and I did tell this story on Lombardi Line earlier today, but for those who did not see it, I was scrolling through my MGM app because I was, you know, shopping numbers, wanted to see. I can't remember what I was looking for. I was looking for something specific. I think it was like the Furman game against Chattanooga today. I wanted to bet Furman. And I was just looking for the best number. And, you know, it's every once in a while it catches my eye. I'm like, oh, I've got six open tickets. So I'm like, you know, scrolling through like what I've got, you know, because that's where I got my Norm Powell ticket. It's at MGM. And I was like, oh, whatever. What other ones do I have? And keep in mind, there's some bad ones in there. I have a Herb Jones to win Defensive Player of the Year ticket in there at 66.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He's not going to sniff that. I've got Bones Highland to win Sixth Man of the Year. That's a really small ticket. And then all the way down at the bottom, Kelly, I see Emmanuel Quickly, Sixth Man of the Year, 35-1. And I'm like, so get out of here.
When did you make it? Is this from like forever ago?
So, and then it's funny you say that. So it hits me because it's from October and yeah. I went back to the NBA guide and he was one of the three candidates I wrote up for Sixth Man of the Year. And I did put money on him. And like, it's just one of those where I just made it so long ago. And as we have talked about, when it comes to Emmanuel Quickly's candidacy, he got off to such a bad start through the first 30 games that I just chalked it up as a loser and essentially just crossed it out of my mind. So the irony now is, of course, twofold. One, Elliot, the producer on Lombardi Line, did a great job of pulling up my podcast tweet from Friday, which said Emmanuel Quickly essentially can't win Sixth Man of the Year, to my tweet this morning, which was, I have changed my mind for no reason in particular and thinks Emmanuel Quickly should totally win Sixth Man of the Year.
Oh, that's great.
So, look, I'll say this, and I'll give you the floor, because I think it's ironic that a game as a starter has pushed Emmanuel Quickly into the role of favorite for Sixth Man of the Year. Have your thoughts changed? Because I am consistent. I'm being kind of a jackass when it comes to trolling about the Emmanuel Quickly thing. But I did my spiel this morning on Lombardi Line. I still think that he should not win the award. As somebody who still has the ticket and is in a much better position than I was a couple of days ago and who will now be betting Malcolm Brogdon so that I can have a position on Powell, Brogdon, and Emmanuel Quickly, I still don't think the resume is strong enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think my I think my position has shifted a little bit. It has, but it's just more to, you know what? Like, I think I brought this up when you and I were on Live Bet Saturday together this past weekend, where I actually thought there was going to be a time when Brogdon presented some value actually finally in this market. Mm-hmm. I think now at about even money or where he's at, and especially if I'm in your chair, I'm making that bet every day because now you've got the two guys surrounding him too, with long odds. I might end up making a Brogdon bet. I'm not going to make it now. I'll probably wait. You know, a few days here, see how this market continues to unfold. Because just, I mean, think about how rapidly this thing has shifted in a week, right? Like, this is, who knows what it could look like a week from now. We don't really know. I'm not changing my stance on Quickly at all, right? It's before it was, when we were last talking about this, it was just, look, there's not a bet to be made to me right now. And I'm fine with the chips falling wherever they do. But now you're seeing, like, Malcolm Brogdon was plus 125. Now he's even money this morning. He's even in the plus money territory. Like, I think he's, I think that's becoming bettable. Or the one I'll circle back to, which is, I think you have a ticket on already. I never made this bet, but Bobby Portis, like, is he completely dead? I don't know that he's completely dead in this market. And his, I mean, if anybody's watching these odds as closely as we are, he's the only other guy that keeps getting shorter. Now, is it from 150 to 100, from 100 to 80 to 80 to 60? Yeah, it is. He's still 60 to 1, but he is still getting shorter. The only question with that one, though, John, I guess, is has he just played too little games, right? Like, that's going to be that's going to be the one and only knock against him.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, his resume is more solid, I think, than Quickly's in that he has been more consistent from the beginning of the year up until this point right now. And look, I'll say this again. You just look for little tidbits here and there. And to your point about Bobby Portis, right? And this is, again, I always say that this is only one guy, okay? But it gives you an idea. Stan Van Gundy the other day was on a Clippers broadcast. I think it was Friday. It was one of the TNT games, obviously. Might have been Thursday. But they were talking about Sixth Man of the Year because Norman Powell was playing. And he even said in that moment, if the season ended today, he would be my pick, Norman Powell, to win Sixth Man of the Year. Again, that's one voter, but it gives you an idea of where the mindset is of some of these voters out there, and that's one of them. And then he proceeded to list off the candidates for Sixth Man of the Year, and he didn't even mention Emmanuel Quickly. He did mention Bobby Portis. And so when you're talking about, again, it's only one person, but it does give you a sense of where some of these decision makers are with their thought processes, whatever. And that is, I think, somewhat important. And I will always say this, Kelly, and I think I brought this up in the last podcast, but we'll say it again here because I think it's even more important. Odd shifts in awards markets are not predictive. So in today is a really good example of it. Boston's playing Cleveland today. Boston opened up as a 4.5-point underdog or 2.5-point underdog, immediately went to 4.5, went to 5.5, and that was predictive. Why? Because eventually Jason Tatum was ruled out and that thing got up to like 9, okay? So that's a predictive line move. This is not because this is an award where the votes have not been settled by anybody. Nobody has made their vote known. So this is all because of liability as opposed to, or protection against liability, as opposed to predictive odds. So we saw guys get to minus 500 to win multiple awards over the last few years, and they ended up not winning them. So I would very much caution against thinking that this move is something that is legitimate and that is going to ultimately lead to Quickly winning the award.
Well, I think the other one to throw in there, liability, you're absolutely right. The other thing to throw in there is, okay, how have the odds shifted in the past 48 hours? It's been drastic towards Emmanuel Quickly, right? What's happened in the past 48 hours? All I'm talking about is 48 hours. He started a game where he had a huge game, a great game last night. I'm not going to take that away from him. He had a great game. But he started a game for Jalen Brunson, who was not playing. Meanwhile, his two competitors in this market, closest competitors, did not play. You know, Norman Powell obviously out. We don't even know how long. I guess we don't have an official update on that yet, do you?
Norman Powell reevaluated in a week. That's all we know. Yeah.
Okay. So we're still waiting on that. Mm-hmm. And then Malcolm Brogdon missed a game. Looks like he'll be back tonight, but he didn't play last game. So we're talking about a flip of favorites based off of one guy starting a game who doesn't normally start and one guy missing a game who doesn't usually miss games, right? Like that's what's led at least to the overnight flipping of favorites in this market. That and all the betting action that's coming into it that you're talking about. So my position has not changed on this at all. On quickly has not changed on that at all. Except my only change in this market is the fact that I think Brogdon's bettable now. I think he's very bettable at the number that he's currently at.
So here's my question for you from my position. Do we think Norm is dead? Because it's going to lead to my next question. Do we think, not like, obviously Norm Powell is not really dead, but like, do we think that
I don't think that ticket is dead. I do not think that ticket is dead.
Because my thought, Kelly, was I was going to bet Brogdon, but I was going to bet Brogdon, I was going to put a large bet on Brogdon. Essentially what I was going to do is I was going to take what I was set to win with Powell had he won and put it on Brogdon. So that
you have Powell, what, 30 to 1?
30 to 1.
Quickly 35. And do you have a Portis ticket?
No, I haven't bet it. I think I might. I might put a little on it just because, you know, that's a number that we're not worried about too much.
I wouldn't be overly worried about it. But
yeah.
Okay, so you've got long numbers on those, then yes, absolutely. I'm betting Malcolm Brogdon huge if I'm you.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm thinking because and that's why I mean like when I say I'm gonna take because I do think that Powell's chances did take a hit with this injury, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so essentially what I'd set myself up with is if Powell wins, I would break even, essentially, is what I would say. So if I'm setting it up right, it would be the rank of now what I want to happen would be quickly Brogdon Powell.
Sure. Yeah, no,
and it would reflect the market.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, you don't want to bet. Yeah, you don't want to overbet it, right? Like I wouldn't be going to bet it, you know, betting Brogdon more than what quickly would pay out. I don't even know, assuming you have the same stake on Quickly and Norman Powell. I don't know that you do or not, or don't. But yeah, I think that's the right way to think about it. That's the way I would go about it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited now. Now that I think that Emmanuel Quickly is the deserving favorite of this award, and now I think that he should win this award no matter what. And I think if you don't think that Emmanuel Quickly shouldn't win, then you're a clown. So I'm all in on the Emmanuel Quickly. I love it. And you know what's funny too? From like a sports gambling like personality standpoint, right? Yeah. And this is why I think I really want to like kind of dig the knife into it. I look like such a douchebag now, and I'm gonna totally keep
totally, man. Whatever.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna put out some deep analytical like tweet thread about like Emmanuel Quickly winning this thing. Like I'm gonna go full bore.
Try to convince all the voters. Yeah, there you go. I mean, the other thing that I guess I openly wonder about, because we've been discussing this award all year, and every year I bet this, I always wonder how much a minutes played matter. You know what I mean? Because it kind of amazes me how much these guys can differ in that. There's, you know, 3 to 4 less minutes for a Malcolm Brogdon compared to an Emmanuel Quickly. And obviously that depends on what the current bench situations look like for all teams involved. But that, I don't know. I just always wonder how far people look into things like that. Because it's, you know, if you look at just the bare plain stat, box score stats that everybody looks at, like those get easily affected when a guy plays 4 more minutes a game. You know what I mean? Over the course of an entire season. I don't know. This is another one. I like talking about it. It's shocking to me. And what a story that, you know, quickly running up this board. I think I'm waving the white flag on this one, though, from a betting standpoint. Besides Brogdon, if he keeps getting longer, there's no reason not to bet this guy. He's still talking about one of the best teams in the East. Who's shooting 46% from three this season, 14.6 per game, 3.7 assists, 4.1 rebounds. It's insane.
Sorry, Kelly. His Raptor is not on par with Emmanuel Quickly's. So I don't believe that Malcolm Brogdon deserves to win this. can I also, really quickly, the last point on this, because you're talking about Brogdon getting longer. I think the one thing that works against you there, that it won't happen, if it comes out that Norm Powell is done for like 3 weeks, then the odds are going to shift where it's a two-horse race.
Yes.
And I mean, actually, maybe it does get longer than in that regard. Maybe because if Powell's knocked it. Nah, I mean, what is that reaction?
No, right? I think so, you're right. Say, yeah, I think you're right. He gets shorter again.
Right, because the probability, there's one less horse in the race. The probability would then go up that he can win the award. Okay, yeah. All right. So, all right. I was right there. Cool. I'm always right.
Yeah, no. I think that's the right thing. I think that even makes it more imperative for you, right, to get bet in like today. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I wouldn't wait any longer.
Oh, the second my wife comes back from working out, hot yoga, I'm out. I'm going to
Think about it this way. Do you think you're the Clippers fan too? Do you think there's a better chance Norman Powell is back in a week, or do you think there's a better chance he misses the rest of the regular season?
Oh, I think there's a better chance if it's those two choices. I think there's a better chance he misses the regular season.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I don't think they need to rush him back necessarily. You and I have complained off and on here about the Clippers needing to put together a stretch where they actually look like a high level basketball team, which I just don't feel like they have all season. But at the same time, you're not going to do that at the risk of one of your key players' health. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think they'd be cautious with him, just like they would be with, you know, maybe not the same level, but in theory, just like they would be with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, any of their starters.
All right, speaking of the Clippers, they did play the Memphis Grizzlies last night. It looked like it was going to be another bad loss for the Clippers. We'll get to the Clippers side of things in a little bit, but we should focus on the Memphis Grizzlies, who, since we last spoke, Kelly, have completely fallen apart from a personnel standpoint. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I find fascinating. I don't know if you've noticed or paid attention to this, but the language involving Ja Morant has evolved day to day. And so what I mean by that is so this thing comes down, the video comes down, he's on IG Live after the loss to Denver, and he's, you know, throwing up the little gun and whatnot. And it's interesting because the initial ruling was, as we talked on Saturday, right? It was Ja Morant is going to be suspended for at least 2 games.
Right.
Then a follow-up report comes from Wojnarowski, and the way that he words it, and maybe I'm thinking too much about semantics, but I think these are important. The way that Wojnarowski reports it is he is suspended for 2 games. Not at least, it was for 2 games. So that's a difference, right? At least 2 games compared to for 2 games. Now the wording is Ja Morant away from the team indefinitely. So I don't know if that means more than 2 games, if that just means still the 2 games, if this is going to extend a little bit farther. But now all of a sudden, the Grizzlies are at a point where Ja Morant's gone for whatever amount of time, but he's gone. They just lost Brandon Clark to a torn Achilles, which is brutal. Mm-hmm. Steven Adams has been missing time because of his own injury. And Dylan Brooks is going to be back because it was only a one-game suspension, I believe. But if you look at this team who can't win a game on the road, whose star point guard can't stay out of trouble now, the vibes are just gone for Memphis.
Oh, totally. What I keep saying about them is, look, and I feel like I sound like my grandfather or something, but it's like, I think it is a maturity issue with this team. And I'm talking both on the court and off the court, right? Like, I don't think there's any reason to think that this team in a year, 2 years from now, this base core can't be one of the best in the NBA and fighting for an NBA title. I don't think there's any reason to think that can't happen. But I think that they still have some room to grow on the court. And then, yes, your star player having the antics that he's doing off the court, that is really not a good look. Dylan Brooks suspended a game because he's racked up too many technicals. Like, that's something that they're just they're the wannabe bad boys of the NBA, but it's like you got to win before you can be the bad boys of the NBA. Right? Like, I don't know. But speaking of that real quick, Steven Adams, every time they show him sitting on the bench on the sidelines, he just looks like the last guy you'd want to see in a mosh pit ever.
Yeah, he does. The hair. You know, he's only like 27.
What? He's only 27? Is that what you just said?
27 or, yeah, he's like 27 or 28 or something ridiculous like that. Like, yeah.
You would have asked me what is Steven Adams' age, I would have guessed 33 years old.
I did go and look actually just now. He is 29, so I was kind of close, but still, I think younger than you would think. So
yeah, I would have bet you, I don't know, an insane amount of money that he was 30 years older or older.
Yep.
Like, without a doubt.
So as we talk about the Grizzlies falling apart, I mean, I was never a team, I think you and I both, they were never a team that really stuck out to me as a true, I don't want to call them not a true contender in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I know.
Right, because they're the 2 seed. They deserve to be respected. They never made my short list. I'll put it that way. They never made my short list of teams I considered seriously to bet on to win the Western Conference at any point.
I'm with you. No. Yes, I'm completely with you. Without any qualifiers, I'm with you. They have never made my short list of a team in the Western Conference I really believed could win it all. Here's where the big however comes in. However, as we're going to talk about more, Western Conference, it has been so wide open all year, and I know people are sick of hearing about that. But I don't know how many teams could win this thing that I wouldn't be shocked by. I just wouldn't be shocked by that one of so many teams winning it, including the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in them, but I wouldn't be shocked if it happened.
So let's build on that on the other side. Let's take our break here. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the Western Conference, because we obviously saw the Grizzlies play in another Western Conference matchup against the Clippers on Sunday night that they almost won. And we'll talk about that, the Clippers as a whole in the Western Conference, and how wide open this can be, and how I keep coming back to one certain team to win the Western Conference, even though they just took a really bad loss the other day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on Hardwood Handicappers. So, Kelly, we're talking about the Western Conference, and I mentioned a team that I just keep coming kind of back to. Outside of the Denver Nuggets, and I should note, I don't really mention Denver a whole bunch, but I think that's from a selfish perspective, only because I don't have anything on Denver. Do I think they could win the Western Conference? Sure. I think they need to be healthy. Aaron Gordon has been dealing with injury, and that, I think, is somewhat troubling because he does raise their floor defensively by quite a bit, and when he's not out there, they become a much worse defensive team. So that's something to monitor as we move into the postseason and get closer to that. So it's from a selfish perspective. It's never enough that I don't think that they can win the Western Conference. Well, and even though they went on the road and lost to the Lakers and they can't win a road game, I still feel like when they are fully complete, because Andrew Wiggins has still been missing time for them, that the Golden State Warriors, like, I just keep coming back to them. I have them at 9-10 to win the Western Conference, and I just keep coming back to them outside of the obvious Phoenix Suns.
I'm completely with you. I think the other question I think to ask about Denver, because I don't know if I've heard many people discuss this since the beginning of the season, but do you feel, just yes or no answer, do you feel that Jamal Murray and Michael Porter are 100% healthy?
Yes for Jamal, no for Michael Porter.
Okay. I think that there's a little bit of, I think that's a reason that we don't discuss enough, that we think that why this team isn't discussed more as a true title contender. I don't know that I fully believe either one of them is completely 100%. I think they're getting close to it, but I think that's always been in the back of my mind. And it's not really something I've really brought up before, because, you know, listen, if people tell you they're healthy and they're playing as well as they are from a team standpoint, then I want to believe them, obviously. But that's kind of always been in the back of my mind with this team, you know, pretty much throughout this entire season. But yeah, I mean, I think when it goes stacking the Western Conference, man, JVT, I might even have the Warriors over the Suns right now. I really might. As far as projecting forward, KD and Booker are absolute killers. I think there are major concerns on the rest of this roster. I just don't. It might be their year this year because of the lack of true talent team wise in the rest of the Western Conference. But it's really next year when I expect the Phoenix Suns to be the big daddy in the Western Conference. When they have another period of transactions where they can bring people in, reshape this roster, they need that a little bit. And I don't know, DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul, I think they're going to have to figure out here for the next couple months how they fit in with the Booker Durant show too. I think there's that side of it as well.
I don't think DeAndre Ayton. I would push back on the DeAndre Ayton thing. I think Ayton fits perfectly. Like he had 15 and 16 in the first game. And like, I think he's just the ancillary piece that should rack up double doubles and should get some really good one-on-one looks down low that he should be able to. I think that's easier to incorporate Ayton. Chris Paul, I think, is another issue because I don't think offensively there's a worry because he's not going to take that many shots anymore. He's a massive weak link on defense now. I mean, I think he's a 7-time defensive ball player or defensive player of the year, all defensive team, something like that. I know he was a really good defensive player in his time, but Luka Doncic went after him every single possession in the playoff series. They went after him again in the game that they just played. I think that's kind of your weakness overall, but I'll say I have come around more on the ceiling for those two because of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and how good they look. And can I just point out, we talked about this around the time that they put this team together, those Devin Booker assists, Kelly, they have been going over. This is now, since he's come into the fold, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker has gone over his assist prop in each one of those games. So that is, it has been paying off. It's been paying dividends for anybody who's been following it.
Yeah, that's a good call. That was a good call by you. And look, I mean, those two are already looking like they are incredibly in sync and a deadly duo. I can't even imagine what they're going to look like once we get in the playoffs and near the end of it in the next season. I think more of the point with, yes, should Ayton still be a double-double every night? Yeah, absolutely. I think I might have said that wrong. As far as this season, yes, he's still going to be a benefit, and he's probably going to be the third most important piece on that team. As we head, him, Chris Paul, whatever, you want to split the difference, it's fine. But he's one of the most important pieces outside of those two heading into the playoffs. I just think this team has an issue on its hand. I'll kind of compare it to the Tobias Harris in Philadelphia, right, where you're paying him so much money. You're paying him so much money to be such a ancillary piece of what you're going to do offensively, right? Yeah. And I just think that's something that's going to be a problem for them in the future. But you deal with that in the future.
Any other notes on the West? I mean, we talked about the Warriors, the Phoenix Suns. I mean, I kind of wanted to tie in the Clippers. And I don't know, Kelly, there's a weird dynamic going on. So, look, I'm a Clippers fan, so I'm a little bit more tied into like a lot of stuff that comes out of there. Than most teams. Ty Lue is all of a sudden playing games with his starting lineup. There was a report from Andrew Grief, who works for the LA Times, covers the Clippers, that there were thoughts that maybe Marcus Morris was going to be out of the starting lineup. Then Ty Lue says he's not going to announce the starting lineup against the Memphis Grizzlies, only to roll out the exact same starting lineup that he usually puts out. So clearly Ty Lue is hearing the noise around, switch the starting lineup, at least Marcus Morris, get him out of there. He has not been performing well.
Yeah.
And he comes out after the game and specifically goes to point out that Marcus Morris had some good moments, which is really weird. And you just see this team, Kelly, to give up 50 points in the third quarter. And look, I watched the game. I don't know if you were watching that game either. Some of those were they were some contested shots that went down with some difficulty. You're watching them going, Jesus, they're going to make everything. So there was some bad luck in there. There were also some wide open shots. Eric Gordon is not the same defender. There was a shot where Desmond Bain drilled a three from the wing because Eric Gordon's just listfully kind of going back in transition and looks away from him. That's the best knockdown shooter they have. Get up in his face in transition. Who cares if you give up a cut to the basket? Bain's going to pull up. Sure enough, pulls up. Hits a three in his grill. But you also saw the positive side, which is holding them scoreless for, what was it, nearly five, or I think it was 2 points over the course of 5 minutes,
yeah,
and coming back to win that game, I'm kind of coming more around the thought of, I don't know what's going on with this team, but there's outside noise, there's defensive issues, and until they decide to pull the trigger on some lineup changes in the starting lineup, I don't want to say they're done, but my faith is waning, put it that way.
Well, I'll keep going back to it. To me, they have the highest ceiling of any team in the Western Conference.
Yep.
The Clippers do. I don't even think it's all that close. But we have not seen it. We haven't seen it all year. We haven't seen it consistently. I mean, look, the other team I'm going to keep bringing up is the Pelicans. It's like, if Zion gets back on the court, this team has a fighting chance. But I think there's those two teams. There's a lot of questions, right? There's so many questions about obviously the Pelicans in health. There's questions about the Clippers. There's questions about the Mavericks. There's questions about, I mean, the Kings. There's questions about the Kings. I just don't know if you're starting to build what you really project forward as the Western Conference winners. I just don't really know how your list kind of doesn't start with Phoenix, Denver, Golden State in some order, and then I think you could start to make arguments after that. I think it's a lot of speculation on teams after that, right? And look, maybe that's where you can put Memphis in that group too, and we're being a little too unfair to them. But I would still have them on the fourth team of those four on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start. Like I said, you got to start winning road games if you're Memphis, and I would say, I mean, so does Golden State though. So does Golden State.
Yeah, right. I think that's just been weird. It's partially just been weird with both those teams this year.
Look, it's been weird for both teams, and I think somebody would rightfully, if they're listening, go, "Well, how come you don't think? You know, you said that, and you immediately brought up Golden State as a rebuttal." You know, that should be something. Yeah, that's fair, but Golden State has won multiple championships and they deserve some benefit of the doubt that when they have everybody together, they're going to string it together. Memphis, yep. By the way, for those who don't know, after the loss to the Clippers, 12-20 straight up, 11-19-2 against the spread. So it has not gone well for the Memphis Grizzlies on the road this season. It's been really weird for them. All right. So with that, we're getting this podcast out a little bit later than usual on Monday, so we won't spend a ton of time on the Monday card. Outside of the weird shenanigans with Cleveland and Boston, I laid 2.5 in the first half, so I got ahead of the line move. Anything that stuck out today? Because I thought the card was it's actually kind of works that we're doing it this way today, because I thought the card was fine, but there's a lot of injury questions outside of just two games.
Yeah, there's I got out in front of it even further than you did there watching that game of the going to overtime last night, and I was like, all right. I see one shop in town with a 1.5 up on this game. I'm like, I think I'm going to bet this. So bet it again in the second overtime, bet it again in the second overtime. So yeah, I'm pretty heavily invested on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess we still have no idea whether Donovan Mitchell's going to play. So especially that could be interesting tonight.
I think he is. He suffered a sprained finger in his offhand against Detroit.
That thing snapped.
Yeah.
That thing snapped.
He was actually cleared to come back in that game, but they decided not to because they were so ahead. So there was no point in risking it. So I am very much leaning toward him playing.
Okay. But yeah, I'm in on that. And then, you know, hey, we talked about it on Saturday on Live Bet Saturday. I'm not going to bet him pregame, but Hawks I'd probably be in on again tonight. Yeah. I'm being stubborn with this. I know. Yeah, I mean, the only question, I'm not betting him pregame. Because, man, that Trae Young stuff was weird last game, right? That's the only thing I'm a little bit hesitant on. I'd rather see this thing get into the flow of the game. I mean, I know that was partially the Heat just shutting him down, but, like, Atlanta, I just don't – you can't discuss this team without discussing the dysfunction that's clearly been going on within that team all season long, right, and with Trae Young. So – I'm not looking to get in any action on that pregame, but in game is something I'll be looking heavily to get in on the Atlanta side.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the whole, the rest of the card was pretty gross to me tonight.
Well, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of injury concerns for all the teams that are in action. So that's part of the problem. A quick note on Atlanta, Miami too, by the way, Heat going back to the beginning of last season, 5-2 straight up, 5-1-1 against the spread, their last 7 regular season meetings with the Hawks. And if you include that postseason series, 9-3 straight up, 8-3-1 against the spread in the last 12. So they have very much owned this rivalry early. It's only been the last 2 seasons, but this has been one that has gone the Heat's direction. And I'll say this to you, Kelly. So one of the things, so now through 3 games against Miami through this season for Trae Young, 18 points per game on 29% shooting from the floor. but he is averaging 10.7 assists. And I want to tie that into, he's also only averaging 14 shot attempts per game. That is the lowest in terms of shot attempts per game against an opponent that he has played multiple times. So what I gather from that is, and when you watch, it's the same thing. The Heat are great at getting the ball out of his hands, right? He's such a ball dominant guy, but he gets the ball out of his hands. They'll double off him. They'll do whatever they need to. So the assists go up, the shot attempts go down. So a faux way, I thought, to back Atlanta, if you thought that was going to be the case, was to bet Trae Young over points. You can get like 23.5, but if they're going to have a successful day, and that's a watered down point total prop for him, over 23.5 would be an interesting way to kind of back Atlanta without going full bore and taking three and tying yourself to the actual result of the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. All right, cool. All right, buddy. Well, we'll cut this episode short, and we will have more on Wednesday. I'll be on Lombardi Line again that day. So, yeah,
same time, same place.
Yeah, same time, same place, pretty much. And then we'll be back on Friday when I don't have anything at all. I'm efforting to get next Friday a booth of some sort at any casino to watch. Not next Friday. Is it next Friday already, the first round of the tournament? Either way, I'm efforting to get day drunk the first round of the NCAA tournament on that Friday. Nice. So, when I come on that day, I'll be like, hey, this is a Hardwood Handicap. Or we'll just record it early in the morning. Either one. I don't know if Stephen will allow me to come on hammered, so we'll probably do it early on Friday.
Sounds good.
All right. Like, rate, review, subscribe. And remember, make sure, I want to really emphasize too, if you're still with us here, like, baseball season's coming up, and Adam Burke has done a tremendous job with a lot of the work up on the website, VSiN.com and VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, you get 10 free articles if you're not a subscriber, so you can check out everything we have. Adam Burke started rolling out some of his team previews starting today. I want to say the AL East was the division that was unveiled today, as well as a fantastic write-up on the World Baseball Classic, which starts on Tuesday. So a lot of good baseball content coming up as baseball season is quickly approaching. And of course, there's everything else we have to offer up on the website, VSiN.com/subscribe, as we are approaching, of course, March Madness. With that, we will talk to you on Wednesday here on Hardwood Handicappers.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.